General Assistance Department, number one speaking.
Hello, this is number two.
Picking up.
Well, hello, hello, hello.
Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. Not when we're about to start another half hour with a bowler, briefcase, and brolly brigade.
It ends on the ministry.
Once again, we pay our weekly tribute to the patient army of Whitehall civil servants, whose lives are dedicated to service in so many forms, all of which must be completed in triplicate. Every day, decisions are taken that may sway the fate of the nation.
It's a difficult choice to have to make, Dickie.
As I know, Minister, I'm a dash difficult. I really don't know which course to take.
I'll tell you what. We'll take both courses. You have the oysters and I'll have the lobster biscuits.
Oh, yes.
And if we don't like them, we can do a swap.
Excellent idea, Minister. Excellent.
Yes. Couple of dozen oysters, do you?
Well,
I'll pass the bill through the fisheries board as usual.
Oh. Well, in that case, 3 dozen for a start.
Stout fellow.
I know, but I've always been fairly big. Carrying a bit of surplus now, I'm afraid.
Yes, well, I see. And talking about surplus, yes. The Prime Minister is extremely concerned that there won't be any this year.
What? No surplus?
None. No. He wants us to launch an economy campaign as a pre-budget softener.
Oh. You mean get people to save and then have it off them in taxes, eh?
Exactly. No, my dear chap, nothing like that. No. He just wants us to start an economy campaign for the good of the nation.
Oh, actually,
and we must all do our part. Waiter, we'll have a bottle of the Chateau Pigard 47 with the pheasant, please. And put another bottle or two in my car, will you?
Certainly, sir. On the usual account, sir.
Of course.
Very good, sir.
Now, about this economy campaign. It's part of what we shall call E-Week.
A big apartment.
The three E's. Economy, efficiency, and enterprise. Ooh. E-Week, you see?
Oh, very good. Very good, very ingenious.
Thank you.
E-Week. Excellent. When you said it, I thought for a moment there was a lobster squeaking in the kitchen.
Very good, chicken.
Good morning, Mr. Leonard Brown.
Morning, number one. Do I hear the kettle singing?
Aye. It switched itself on when you came in.
Excellent. Go and help it along a bit, will you?
Oh, I'm just a walking tea bag, that's me. Tea, tea, tea. Get some in there.
Number two, why are you sitting there chewing your pencil?
Well, I'm getting ideas.
You'll be getting lead poisoning, too, if you're not careful. No wonder I can never find a pencil when I want one. What do you do with the erasers on the end? Do you swallow them whole?
But of course I don't, number one. I keep them for my catapult.
General Assistance Department, Lennox Brown,
speaking.
How good day to you, Sir Gregory, and what may we have the pleasure of doing for you this bright, sunny morning?
Item one, Lennox Brown, it stopped being morning 2 hours ago. Item two, it's pouring with rain. And item three, I'm phoning about E-Week.
About what, Sir Gregory?
E-Week, man, E-Week.
Do you have something there that needs oiling, Sir Gregory?
I have something that's dangerously near boiling, Lennox Brown. I'm talking about E-Week. Surely you read my memo.
Memo? Oh, yes, of course. Yes, now you mention it. No, I haven't.
Well, find it and get on with it. And bring it closer to home. I noticed that your department consumed no less than 24 pencils last week.
Consumed, Sir Gregory? Oh, yes, well, I'll speak to Mr. Lyon.
Speaking is no good. What are you going to do about it?
Oh, well, I might try a stomach pump.
Ah.
Oh, dear, we're cut off again. Number two, do we have any memos from the Permanent Undersecretary?
Well, only this one that came in on Monday.
Oh, what's today?
Friday.
I
Actually, it came up from the bottom of the pile pretty quickly.
Oh, really? Let me have a look. Yes. Urgent. Yes. Need to curtail spending. Halt indiscriminate use of public funds. Yes, that's the same as last year's. Except, wait a minute. Did you say today's Friday?
Yes.
The 24th?
Yes, the 24th.
Well, there's an efficiency expert arriving at 2:30. What's the time?
2:30.
How efficient can you get? Come in!
Well, hello, hello, hello. How are we all? Busy, busy, busy? I'm gribbling.
Does it hurt?
Very droll, very droll indeed. My name's Gribbling, Wilfred Gribbling. I'm conducting a survey into the efficiency of this department.
A survey into my department?
On the instructions of my uncle, the minister.
Mr. Gribbling, if you think name-dropping is going to...
Who?
Oh, the minister. Now, my dear chap, yes, sit down. Yes, I'm Roland Lennox Brown. This is my assistant, Richard Lamb. Very nice to have you with us. Any relative of the minister is a blood brother of ours. Isn't he, number two?
Yes, of course. Have some blood. I mean, have some tea.
No, thank you. Tea drinking has no place in my scheme of things. Time wasted on drinking tea is time lost, I always say. Now, I want to see your underlings.
What sort of efficiency is this, then, number one?
Enough of this dilly-dallying. Mr. Lennox Brown, kindly produce your underlings at once. Your employees.
Oh. Well, actually, apart from my number two here, I have only one other underling, Mildred.
Oh, a female. Is she your secretary?
In a loose way of speaking, yes.
Typing, shorthand, and so on?
Well, she's heard about them, yes.
Could I have a word with her?
Yes, of course, yes. And a charming, courteous little Miss Efficiency, you'll find her, too. Mildred!
Hello.
Could you come through here for a moment, please?
Oh, I'm coming, aren't I? I've told you before, Mr. Lennox Brown. You can't just pour it down. Your tea's got to brew. There you are.
Mildred, this is Mr. Gribbling.
Oh, blimey, that means you want another cook. It'd be easier if I was fitted with wheels.
Oh, charming, absolutely charming.
Well, actually, she's rehearsing her part.
Part?
Yes, for the civil service player's next production, you know.
Oh, I see. What part is she playing? The Bride of Dracula?
No. She's playing the part of a battered housewife. Yes, that's it, a battered housewife.
And what's the play called?
What's the name of the play again, number two?
The Maiming of the Shrew.
Now, look here, Mr. Lewis Brown. There's something very peculiar about your department.
Yes, I've noticed that, too.
We're all entitled to our idiosyncrasies.
Oh, of course.
Nevertheless, I find myself wondering how idiotic your syncrasies can be.
Really, Mr. Gribbling, if you think you can come into my department and make comments like that...
Did I tell you about my uncle?
Oh, yes, well, you can make comments like that.
Yes. Now, what about your DTs?
My DTs? Do they show?
Your direct thoughts training. Are you holding to one fixed thought and following it through to the end?
Well, I am.
Wonderful. What is it?
Our tea's getting cold.
Oh, you and your tea. You won't win the prize by drinking tea, you know.
Oh? What prize?
A month's free holiday for whoever produces the most original idea during E-week. Yes. Something to make people saving conscious.
Do you mean like steaming stamps off envelopes and using them again?
Perhaps something on a bigger scale.
Number two, it's breadth and vision you need with a project like this.
Yeah.
Just leave it to us, Mr. Gribbling. This department will come up with something.
I know I've got it. Suppose... No.
What is it, Mildred?
I had some in my head, but I lost it. Now, we'd better get back to sticking Mr. Lennox Brown's second-hand pin-ups in his scrapbook. Oh, look at this one. Oh, the saucy thing.
But there must be some way of making people save.
Well, my dad says the country's troubles start with taxes. Scrub them, he says, and people would have the incentive to get somewhere on their own 2 feet. Oh, look at the time. I've got to meet Byrne in the canteen. I'll see you later, Mr. Lamb.
Scrub all the taxes, and then people would get there on their own 2 feet. By George, that's it. If there were no taxes, everyone would have to do a lot more walking, wouldn't they? Oh, and that would save a lot of money, wouldn't it? Oh, I say, won't number one be jealous of my wonderful idea? Oh, no, no, he'll pinch it, so I won't tell him.
Early morning. Am I addressing the manager?
That is indeed correctly. Please to be making yourself comfortable.
Oh, thank you. My name is Lennox Brown from the ministry, you know.
Oh, so you are being the Reverend Lennox E. Brown.
Oh, no, not that kind of ministry.
Oh, pardon me. I am in error wise thinking you are one of those ministering fellows because you are wearing your doggy collar. Front side to back side, you know.
How is it? Oh, yes, there it is. No wonder I had trouble getting a tie on this morning.
My name, by the byway, is being Rampasad Haribai Sunilal V. Mukherjee.
How do you do? Yes, well now, Mr. Rampasad.
Mukherjee.
Of course, yes. I'm doing a survey on the spending habits of civil servants with a view to preparing a report on how to control the inflationary spiral.
Oh, indeed, you are speaking with the utmost of logicality. But, what are you talking about, please?
I'm trying to prove that people spend money much too freely.
Oh.
I want to teach them how to spend wisely and save.
Oh, now I am catching off here. Congratulations, goody sir. You are coming to exactly the rightly place at exactly the rightly moment of being time.
Yes. Well, I don't make many mistakes, you know. I said to myself, what better place to go for a survey of this kind than Mukherjee's civil service stores?
Too very truly you are speaking. Always civil service you are getting by this place.
Yes, sir. Yes, I'm sure, yes. Now, and this is a discount house, isn't it?
Indeed, yes. Whatever that is meaning. Pleased to be being examining my selling piece.
Pardon?
My little verse, what I am being composting. Me, by my very self personally. For spices and rices at all our best prices, the peoplings are shopping by mucks. For sooties and booties and all kinds of fruities, the peoplings are shopping by mucks. For dinghies and ringies and all kinds of thingies.
Mr. Mukherjee. Is there a lot of this?
We are selling plenty merchandising.
I see. Well, perhaps I better take a trip through the store myself.
Only with the greatest of pleasurement. I am showing you, me myself personally, how the people are saving their money when they are spending my Mukherjee's. Oh, my golly goodness, yes. The more they are spending, the more they are saving. Kindly be following me, please.
Well, there you are, Mr. Mukherjee. There's my check.
Thanking you too much, kindly.
No, thank you. I shall point out in my report how much I've saved by buying these things here.
Oh, too goodly. Then other peoplings will be coming and buying my goodies. Oh, lovely, lovely. Yes, that's too good.
Yes, wait till they see what I bought for only £65.10. Oh, 3 pairs of snowshoes, a paraffin heated frying pan, a dozen 100-day-old eggs, and a set of genuine hand-carved yak's foot dominoes. Oh, really, this is my lucky day.
May you be even luckier, Mr. Lennox E. Brown. May the bluebird of happiness be flying over your head and not be seeing you.
Thank you, and goodbye, Mr. Mukherjee. Goodbye. Excuse me, Constable.
Yes, sir. Blimey, you've been shopping early for Christmas, haven't you, eh?
Yes, and I need a taxi.
Well, sir, why don't you just stick your hand out and hail one?
Well, I would if I could, but there aren't.
Eh?
There aren't any taxis. I've been waiting here for 10 minutes, and I haven't seen one yet. And I thought you might know why.
Yeah, I thought there was something missing this morning. Funny how these things strike you without you actually realizing it, eh? I mean, I got up as usual, I had me kipper, I had me bit of fried bread.
Yes, but how am I going to get to Whitehall if there are no taxis?
Well, you could go by bus. No, I wouldn't advise that. There's been queues half a mile long for buses this morning. Well, that's a funny thing too, isn't it?
Yes, very, but that doesn't solve my problem.
Come to think of it, I know why there's all those bus queues.
No, why?
Because there ain't no buses, neither.
No buses, but this is ridiculous. No taxis, no buses. What's London coming to?
It's dead strange, isn't it, how things like this sort of, happen. Makes you think, doesn't it? Huh? I mean, it seemed an ordinary sort of day. I'd no inkling at all.
Constable, please. Next thing you'll be telling me that all the tube stations are closed, too.
Well, now you mention it.
Oh, no!
Mr. Lennox found at last. The telephone's been going mad, and... you've been out playing tennis.
Tennis? Oh, no, these aren't tennis rackets. They're snow tubes.
Oh, well, you know, it's been so exciting here today with all the crowds outside. They don't seem to want to move.
No, they can't move. Oh. Switch on the radio and see if we can find out what's happening, will you?
And that concludes our morning music program, in which you heard a particularly vulgar boat song. And now here's the news, read by Mortimer Thripp. There were amazing scenes in central London today when the banning of all taxicabs, believed to be government-inspired, set off a series of wildcat strikes. Bus drivers and conductors struck in sympathy with the cab drivers, underground workers struck in sympathy with everybody, and irate passengers struck at anyone in uniform. The pedestrian build-up continues, and several elderly members of Parliament arrived at the House today on penny-farthing bicycles. One enterprising cycle company has already come out with the slogan, "Don't hike, bike."
Somebody's in for it this time, Mildred. A government-inspired stoppage of all public transport. I ask you... Oh, I'm glad it wasn't anybody in this department. Where's Mr. Lamb this morning?
I don't know. But
surely even he wouldn't. But he couldn't.
The last I saw him, then he was wrecking his brains over Operation E-Week. I told you what me dad thought, that they'd do better if they stopped all taxis and... Oh, Mr. Lamb must have got it all wrong.
You mean he's responsible for half of Greater London jamming the pavements out there?
Well, when I said taxis, I didn't think he'd think I meant taxis.
I say, what a lot of people there are in the streets today.
Number two, tell me what happened.
Look at that, a lacrosse stick. Just what I want.
That is not a lacrosse stick. It's a snowshoe.
Oh, goody. Just what I need for my holiday.
But you've been on holiday this year, Mr. Lamb.
Ah, yes, but they're bound to give me the 4 weeks extra leave, aren't they? I mean, just think of it. 4 glorious weeks skiing in the Bavarian Alps, dinner by candlelight in a cozy Gasthaus, and then...
I think the Obergruppenführer wants you.
Hello, Richard Lamb skiing. I mean speaking.
Lamb.
Yes, Sir Gregory. I can leave at any time, next week or the week after, Sir Gregory.
You could be leaving earlier than that, lad.
Oh, goody.
Was it your idea of banishing all taxes from the streets?
Yes. All mine, sir, yes. And think of the savings. I mean, all those people going by tube and bus or even walking to work. All that money staying in their pockets, what?
But for how long, lad?
Hmm?
The cost of the ratepayers, as of now, is £3,450,000.
But why, Sir Gregory?
Because all the bus and underground workers are out on strike in sympathy. There is chaos in London. Complete and utter chaos.
Get it straightened out now.
Do you hear me? And tell Lennox Brown that if he wants me, I'll be with the Home Secretary. I'm trying to get him to introduce garrotting for special cases.
What's the matter, Mr. Lamb? Can't you go on your holiday then?
No! He's going to have me garrotted.
Oh, Mr. Lamb, he wouldn't. He'd ruin your thingy. Your life.
No, I don't know. Anyway, after what you've done, you were bound to get it in the neck. Anyway,
calm down.
All you have to do is tell the taxi drivers they can start out again, and the bus and tube people will call off their strike. It's as simple as that.
And here is the news read by Mortimer Thripp. Taxis and buses are back on the streets of London.
Hooray!
Causing even greater chaos in the city's streets.
What?
Where private cars, bicycles, and pedestrians are locked in the greatest traffic jam known to history. The underground remains out of use as its operatives are unable to get near the tube stations. Workers in central London are staying at their posts, being unable to move anywhere else. And if anyone manages to get through to Broadcasting House, I wouldn't mind a packet of sandwiches.
Well, number two, what are you going to do about it?
Oh, what can I do? I don't know what kind of sandwiches he wants.
I meant, what are you going to do about the mess you've made of London? There hasn't been as much panic in the streets since the Great Fire.
Well, it's all very well asking me what I'm going to do, but you're number one around here. You think of something. Well, there must be some way of clearing the streets, mustn't there?
Yes, let me see. Yeah, Boris Yeltsin would know what to do, but he's got his own troubles at the moment. Dynamite, perhaps? No, that's too messy.
Number one, you're not helping. Sir Gregory said he'd murder me if I didn't do something about it, and I'm too young to die.
Oh, I don't know. And anyway, Sir Gregory is always saying things like that when all he means is that he's going to put you in hospital for a few weeks.
Relax, my dear chap, just relax.
I guess there's something will occur to me. Yes, I'll give it some thought when I'm home tonight.
Home? How are you going to get home?
Well, that's the plan for these things, you know. Mildred!
Yes, Mr. Lennox Brown?
Ring the hall porter and tell him I want the helicopter now, please, will you? Morning, number two. Good morning, Mildred.
Number one, it's all right. London's back to normal.
Yes, of course. I told you I'd give it some thought, didn't I?
Do you mean it was you who cleared the streets?
Naturally.
Mr. Lennox Brown, however did you manage that?
Oh, well, it was nothing, really.
But all the transport's running again. You must have done something.
Yes, number one. What did you do?
Diplomacy, my dear chap, diplomacy. I made all the underground staff happy and gave them the chance to recoup their lost wages by signing them all on as temporary traffic wardens. And they went around handing out tickets for illegal parking and jaywalking, and it was quite amazing how the crowds and cars disappeared. We made a nice profit, too.
Wasn't that clever?
And, of course, I've pointed out in my report that all the people stuck in central London for 2 days must have saved quite a lot in travelling expenses. And I dare say they'll bear that in mind when they're handing out the E-Week campaign prize.
Well, surely they'll give that to me.
You? Why?
Well, I mean, think of all the fuel that was stockpiled while there was no transport running around London. I mean...
No, but that is really hardly a thing to win you a prize.
What are you talking about? I mean, they must have saved a fortune.
But it was all your fault.
Stop it. You can't carry on at each other like that. Oh, it must be wonderful to have have a brain like yours, Mr. Lennox Brown.
Thank you, Mildred.
And yours, Mr. Lamb.
Thank you, Mildred.
Well, that's it then. Toodaloo.
Toodaloo? Where are you going?
I'm going on my holiday.
But you've had your holiday this year.
Aye, but this is a special one, isn't it? The E-Week Prize. They gave it to me.
To you? What for?
For my money-saving idea. You see, I told them to put something nasty on the ends of pencils to stop people like you chewing them to pieces.
Oh, what a... You're well.
Jammed up as the men from the ministry this week were John Simpson and Roger Service. Chipping in with ideas were Maureen Adair, Tom Meehan, Tommy Reed, Frank Graham and Brian Squires. The script is written by Tom Meehan. Technical production was by Ian Kinnear and Oliver Hart. Our director was Don Ridgway. If you'd like to be part of our studio audience in Durban, we record on Tuesdays at 5:30. Be there. You're welcome. And if you can't, join the whole mad bunch at the same time next week for another romp down the corridors of power with... The men from the ministry.